Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Ephesians chapter 1. Now, if you were not here Wednesday evening, I exhort you to get that tape, or that tape. Kind of dates me there, doesn't it? To get that recording of Brother Paul Trochel came and taught on the will of God, and that's what I started a series on Sunday morning. He didn't know that, and he came in there and almost preached my message. I thought, I told Lee, I said, he's preaching my message. Oh, my goodness. But I think God's trying to get our attention. Because really there's two wills that you have to deal with, and that is your selfish will and the will of God. Your selfish will lines up right with the will of the devil perfectly, because he's selfish. Amen. I was listening to a man that was talking about a particular political character in our history, back a few years ago, and of the wealth that this gentleman has gathered since his political days, and how absolutely stingy he is. I think he made like $130 million 1 year and gave $30. Isn't that crazy? But you know, when you get full of God and you get full of the Holy Ghost, you love to give. Man, if I had that kind of money, I'd bless everybody. I mean, I'd be stupid blessing. You know, I'd give people stupid blessings. I mean, know what that is. Here, just because I love you, you know. But praise God, people are selfish. Selfishness is of the devil. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, you get liberal. You get full of God. You get full of His grace, and you want to give. Amen? Now, dealing with the will of God, that's where a lot of times selfishness really rises up, is because we really think we know something. We prepare ourselves for life, for a career. When the Lord rescued me and brought the prodigal son back home, you know, I was preparing for a career in the cable TV industry. I'd been in it for quite a while and had risen to the top and was, you know, part of the extreme, wasn't in management, I was in the extreme technical side of it. So the management needed me, you know. And I didn't need them, they needed me. But when I came back to the Lord, I tried to, you know, I thought, well, I'll just be a good work in the cable industry. I tried to go back into rodeo. Listen, when God's got a call on your life, you've got to obey that call. You've got to do His will. And I had spent 12 years not doing His will, and I knew what it was like not to do it and the consequences of it. Now, let me just say this. If you know there is a will of God for your life and you reject that, there's going to be some consequences. Number one, you've opened up the door and put a target on yourself for the devil. You know that scripture in James chapter 5 where it says he goes about seeking whom he may destroy. He goes about as a roaring lion. That's who he's looking for. He's looking for believers who have gotten into selfishness and are not pursuing the will of God, they're pursuing their own will. Boy, I tell you, he'll tear up your life. That's why it's good to stay in the will of God. Now, let's look here. Verse 3, Ephesians 1. I love just reading in Ephesians. It's just so good to read these redemptive verses in the Bible. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now notice that term. Who hath, past tense, He's already done it. Amen. You don't have to beg God to bless you. He's already done it. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So people read that and they think, well, that's good, you know, praise God. I got some spiritual blessings, but I need to pay my light bill. Well, you can pay your light bill, because God has laid up for you spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where He further amplifies that by saying rust and cannot corrupt it, and the devil can't steal it. Thank God. There's a provision for you that cannot be corrupted, cannot be destroyed. Inflation can't get it. You ought to really be happy about that one, amen? Now notice verse 2, according to as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, and before Him in love. That is what we call a universal scripture. You say, what does that mean? That is inclusive of every person. Now, let me say that again. That is inclusive of every person. He hath chosen every person born on this planet. It's our responsibility to get the gospel to them. Amen. But you think about people coming into the kingdom, especially in the United States, where there's so many churches, so many denominations, so many religions, so many ways that people, look at the Word of God. A lot of people don't even understand the new birth, that it's the will of God for them to be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. So that's the will of God. Jesus commanded in Acts chapter 1 that we were to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So there's all of these wonderful things that God has laid up, provision for us, but they're laid up in the spirit realm. I use this in our many times in confession over finances, because you have a financial deposit. Let me say that again. You have a financial deposit in an unseen realm, not in a bank that can be robbed, not in any kind of an institution that can destroy it, but you've got it laid up in a heavenly account that God says you can draw off of. Now, how much is in that account is up to you. It's up to you. See, people, they don't like that. Bless me. That's what people like. They want something for nothing. That's not how the kingdom works. You got to have faith. You have to act on that faith. When you do, you find out how big the provision of God really is. I mean, it's really big. It's really cool. Now notice this. This is an important scripture because a lot of people are very confused. Having predestined us. Now people stop right there. See, there's predestination. That's not what it's talking about. Listen to it. Having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So let's take once and for all and destroy Calvinism and never go back to it. You say, what do you mean? There is an element of predestination on every man, woman, and child born on the planet. By God's own intention and by God's own will, He has predestined every person to be saved. But does every person get saved? No. So the intention of God is thwarted by the sin of humanity, who loosed an entity upon the earth, who now rules the world and causes men to be deceived. Men, when I say men, I mean mankind. Causes mankind to be deceived and not see their God for who He is and not understand His wonderful plan of salvation. Amen? So we're all predestined. There's no, well, God chooses this one here and chooses that, but that, He don't like that guy back there. Well, that was true under another covenant. Did you know God said, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated? God said that. Well, I don't see how that's God loves everybody. That's not what the Bible says. It says Jacob I love, Esau I hated. Amen? So, we're all predestined. Say, we're all predestined. That means everybody out there, is there a potential convert into the kingdom of God? Isn't that good? Now, notice this. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I wish I could just preach on that right there, because that's a powerful statement, that we, just as simple human beings, not important government officials or born into some royal family. No, we're born again into a royal family. Oh, I ought to get a better amen than that. You're born again into a royal family. You're a chosen priesthood. You're a peculiar generation. That's what you are. That's what God says about you in the earth. Amen. Accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now notice, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. Now, I've literally heard preachers go and say, you can't figure out God. He's so mysterious. His ways are so mysterious. His will. You know, I found God to be very practical. Amen? I don't find Him to be, you know, to put demands upon us that are just, you know, insanely crazy. Everything that He's ever told me to do, I found out when He told me to do it, He had already put the capacity for faith in me to receive that faith and do what He said to do. Amen. Amen? But notice, He has revealed unto us, now this is so good, the mystery of His will. Men and women sat in darkness, when it came to the mystery of his will, until God began to reveal redemptive truths through Abraham, through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, through Ezekiel, through many of the minor prophets, and most of all, through David, the Messianic prophet. Amen? He began to reveal that this entity, this person was going to come. He was going to redeem the world and remove the mystery. What was the mystery? Why didn't God do something for the Egyptians? Why doesn't God do something for the Babylonians? Why doesn't God do something for the Assyrians? Why doesn't God do something for the Romans or the Greeks? He's trying to. He's trying to use a little nation called Israel to raise up a priesthood and a kingly lineage so he can get a redeemer to the earth so that Egypt can be saved. So that America can be saved. So that Nicaragua can be saved. So that Galveston can be saved. So that you can be born again. Why, Pastor? Because he wants to remove that mystery of his will so that all men will know it is the will of God to save them. So people are like, save from what? That's the way people's minds are. Because sin is normal in the earth. It is the nature of man to sin. It says over in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are by nature children of wrath, even as others. Amen? So we've got this out of control, totally iniquitous bunch of beings on the earth following the impulses of unrighteousness that is in them through the fall of man, 6,000 years. Can you imagine? People go back and say, well, you can look in the Bible and find out all the reasons these people are fighting in the Middle East and these tribes and this. And let me tell you, you can go back to Genesis chapter 3 and find out why everybody's fighting. When man got separated from God, the fight started. And it hadn't ended yet. You say, what fight? Everyone that's out there. Every fight that's out there, that's when it started. And it's not going to end till that eastern sky splits and Jesus comes back with us the second time and he sets this whole thing in order. No man will set this thing in order, but our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will set this whole thing in order, and you will see how glorious his plan is. In the meantime, he is revealing unto us, his church, the mystery of his plan. Now, if God has a plan so inclusive that it includes the whole world, just think how glorious the plan is that he has for you. He's got a plan for you. You are in the process of uncovering and discovering the depth, the breadth, the length, the height, the love of God, to know the love of Christ, which it says in Ephesians chapter 3. You are making discoveries every day, every time you read the Bible, every time you pray, every time you come to church, more and more and more of the mystery gets removed. I really don't believe we're in the dark around here. I can't say that of every church. Amen. But I tell you what, church, I mean, these are some perilous times and some ominous storm clouds are gathering on the horizon. Economic, financial, political, amen? In the nations of the world, all the wars, rumors of wars. I don't know, they didn't hardly report it on the news this week, but look what happened to Poland this week. Anybody know what happened to Poland? There was a coup, they took it over. Yeah, Poland fell this week, they didn't even report it on the news. I mean, there's all kinds of nations that are teetering right now because they're wanting. Who's wanting? The devil. And his crowd are doing everything they can do to start World War III. They want it more than they want anything else. You say, why? That's the devil's revival. What does a war do? Steal, kill, destroy, steal, kill, destroy. But the power of that verse is not steal, kill, and destroy. The power of John 10:10 is, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance. Amen. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Now go real quick to the book of 1 John. Is it hot in here to you? Somebody open a window. I'm about to sweat here. I'm going to take my coat off. What's that? No, I'm not having a hot flash. I'm We paid the bill, didn't we? I probably ought to enjoy it. In about 12 hours, I'm going to be in 0-degree weather. So, John chapter 2. Now, we're dealing with the will of God. I wanted to show you that verse in Ephesians because there's so many people out there that think the gospel is so mysterious when it's not. Why has God given us all these great scriptures in the Bible that talk about the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of Him, where we pray and we ask God for knowledge? Listen, God is not withholding anything from anybody that wants it. He'll pour. And what used to amaze me was being around some of those big preachers of the last generation and them saying things like, oh, yeah, there's stuff in the Bible I don't even preach. These are guys that knew stuff. I couldn't. If I preached it, you know, people would freak out. But I don't preach it. But it's in the Bible. Well, you know, there's stuff in there that God's holding for these last days to impart faith, to give us hope, and to make sure that we've got the word that we need to overcome the word the enemy tries to bring against us. Amen? Now, notice John chapter 2. This is not the gospel of John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Now, you know what the lust of the flesh is. Everything that, you know, that the flesh wants. The desires of the flesh, the appetites of the flesh, feed me, pamper me, comfort me, you know, the whole nine yards. You can't let your flesh get out of control and control you. And then what is the next one? It says the lust of the eyes. Pastor John Osteen used to say, you can't have everything your beady little old eyes want. Quit looking at that stuff, amen? But you'd be surprised how many people window shop all their life and just lust, and just lust. Can you imagine how that is? What a miserable life to be like that. And then there's the pride of life. How many know the pride of life? Anybody know that? Don't need God. Nah. Don't need God. Man, I can do it myself. Get me an education. Get me a career. Make me some money. Get me some money. I get me some money, then I'm going to be okay. That's the pride of life. I don't need God. I don't need anybody but me. I can do it. I'm telling you, you will come to you may be a self-made man. I like one guy said, you know, I'm a self-made man. The other guy said, then why'd you make yourself so ugly? Amen. I do not want to be a self-made man. I didn't give me any amens on that. I want to be a God-made man. And there's a lot of people out there that are self-made and they're building their lives on the lust of their flesh, the lust of their eyes, what is it? Let me get it right here. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Now notice this. But he that doeth the will of God. Why is God looking for people to submit totally their life to Him? Here's why. He wants to use you forever. He wants to use you forever. This is preparation. God says that in the vast amounts of time that are out in the wherever, that God will use the church to manifest His wisdom, His power, His glory, and His will throughout the universe. What in the world could that mean? Well, I'm not going to try to figure it out. My goodness, I can't. I mean, doing the will of God in a glorified body, supernaturally, traveling at the speed of thought? That's faster than the speed of light. Amen? Being able to manipulate the material at will, flowing in the Spirit, living in both realms. I'm telling you, God's got a life for you that if you had just 2 seconds of an understanding of that life, you would serve God with everything you have in this life because you know the life that is coming is so glorious, you don't want to miss it. And you certainly don't want to trade it for some selfish desire of your flesh or your eyes or what you can do for yourself. Amen? I love that. Now listen to it. And the world passeth away. and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Yeah. Hallelujah. Man, you talk about a promise for longevity. There it is right there. Now, we've gone way outside the boundaries to the universal will of God. Amen? You say, what do you mean by that? God is not willing that any should die, but all should come into the knowledge of redemption and the knowledge of His goodness, His grace, and His salvation. Are you with me? He's not willing that any should be powerless. So He wants to fill everybody with the Holy Ghost, because Jesus Himself said, when you receive it, you shall receive what? Power. Dunamis, that means an outward manifestation of power. Amen? He wants you to be blessed financially. We just use the scripture. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. It is the will of God that you have what you need. Amen? But see, now here's kind of where Brother Paul Trochel, where I kind of ended last week, and where Brother Paul kind of picked up and then expanded on a little bit. Here's where the rubber hits the road. It's with you as an individual. Number one, do you seek His will? Do you ask Him, what is your will for my life? Do you pray constantly? You should pray constantly over the will of God for your life till you begin to find yourself in it. Amen? Secondly, reject all thoughts. Reject anything coming into your mind that goes counter to the will of God in your life. Now, what I'm saying, what we must understand is there's this first layer of the will of God that's unique for all of us. It's God's will that you're saved. If you're saved, thank God, you're in the will of God for salvation. It's God's will that you be filled with the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues. If you are, thank God, you're in God's will for being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's God's will for you to be healed. You say, well, Pastor, I'm still fighting symptoms in my body. Doesn't matter. It's still His will for you to be healed. See, there's people that have not been healed because they didn't think it was God's will. And then on the other side of the coin, there's people that think that when they get sick, they suffer for God. You don't have to suffer for God. He already suffered for you. He asked you, though, to fellowship in His sufferings. Whichever suffering that He suffered produced a provision. So what He is saying is, I want you living in the provision that I suffered for. I suffered for it. I want you to have it. I died for you to be saved. I suffered for you to be healed. I died so you could be delivered. I rose from the dead so you could live in my life. That's His will. It's the will of God for you to have a church, to come to church, to have a pastor, to be a part of a church, to be whatever. You'll say, I just come, there's not much. You can come pray. You can pray over the nations. There's so much you can do. So much you can do without even asking to do it. Then you get to the place where you can do it. Amen? It's amazing how you just start doing what you know to do, how God will bring you an assignment. Amen? So here's the thing. You start doing all the things that you know to do, and then what you don't know about the will of God, that's when He begins to reveal it. Let me ask you a question. If you're unwilling to get saved, unwilling to get filled with the Holy Ghost, unwilling to go to church, unwilling to tithe and offer, unwilling to be an active member of, how can God get anything to you? You've shut every door. Everything that He's ever tried to open up for you, you've shut it. And it remains shut till you open up and say, okay, God, here I am. I did that for 12 years. It made me miserable. But finally one day I said, okay, I'm done. Either take me now or kill me, kind of that kind of deal. I'm done with this. I'm not living in this death no more. I'm not living in this hell no more. I'm not living in this depression no more. I'm not living like this no more. And when I did that, I knew what the price was. Do you know what the price is? It's everything. I knew what the price was. It's everything. You've got to give it all to Him. You say, what do you mean all? Everything. You've got to go to God and say, God, here I am. I'm your child. See, we don't realize when we get born again, we get taken out of this world system. That's why a lot of it. I've seen especially businessmen get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, have a good business. 6 months after they're saved, they're like, what happened to my business? Well, what do you think happened to it? You got saved. You got filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to come to the church and figure out something about authority so you can get the devil off your business, because he got on your business because you got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost. He's going to attack you every way he can. He's going to fight you every way he can. He's going to come after your health. He's going to come after your wealth. He's going to come after your sanity. He's going to come after everything. But the number one thing the devil wants to keep you out of is the will of God. Because he knows if you walk in the will of God, authority works, prayer works, the name of Jesus works, the word works, everything God has put in the kingdom comes online for you, and you are a threat to the devil and a threat to his darkness. Amen? So while for years we've tried to tell people, we just started out. You know, it says of Abraham that he went forth not knowing where he was going. He just left. All right, we're gone. Where are we going, Lord? You know, many times that's what you've got to do. Now, you say, Pastor, I'm coming to church, and I tithe and offer, and I come to prayer, and I do my best, but I just seem so directionless. Hang on. You are doing something in your life that's going to help the Father to focus upon you and give you clarion words of direction. Amen. And one of the ways you get clarion words of direction is by being where you're supposed to be at the right time, at the right place, with the right people, doing the right thing. Amen? And not only that, you're in an atmosphere where the Spirit of God can move and break through the natural and get a word to you, get a scripture to you, get a prophecy to you, get a word of wisdom to you, get a word of knowledge to you, and impart something supernatural that's going to have a supernatural effect. Amen. Don't be afraid, Chelsea. Don't be afraid. God has you in the palm of his hand. Everything's going to work out perfect. Everything's going to be just fine. Both of you guys, Cody, your guys' steps have been ordered of the Lord. And what's fixing to happen to you is going to be so wonderful, so glorious, and it's going to be beyond just having a kid. You're going to see. But the Lord wants you to hear that word, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Amen? Amen. Praise God. See, that's the Spirit of God just breaking through the spirit realm into the natural, giving somebody a word of what? That's a prophecy, a word of exhortation, a word of comfort. Amen? Yeah. Was that you saying that? No, that was the Spirit of God saying that to her. Now, here's something we have to realize. In this walk, in this fulfilling the will of God, I guess that would be the best phrase to use. That is where the total provision of God is available to you. Amen. You get out here doing your own thing. Now, there's one thing that will work for you out here. And you say, what is that? Mercy. But you can't live on mercy. You got to live on grace. Because as long as you're in this world and trying to do the world thing, but you love God, God will make sure you have some mercy every once in a while to get you out of what you get yourself into. How many have experienced that? But you say, that's. I'm going to live in the kingdom. I'm going to walk on that path. Then every provision that you need and the ways God gets it to you, Lee and I could sit here and tell you testimony after testimony of how God got things into our life. It amazed us. And when we were able to see behind the curtain at what happened behind the scenes of how God got it to us, it was even more amazing what God had done. I'll tell you, I'm convinced some of you, God has been working on you and on what you're believing for a long, long time, and you don't realize it. You say, why is that? Because the devil's always after your hope. But it is the will of God that your hope be encouraged, that your faith be strengthened, and that you know if you're walking in that hope and faith, faith is the substance of hope for, that God's provision is for you because the just live by faith. Amen? So you get out in what we call that faith walk. You're not one of them faith people, are you? Are you kidding me? I've lived 40 years by what you call faith. 40 years by what you call faith. Coming out of a life which I should have been dead. Amen? And I'm telling you, for 40 years, faith has worked. Faith has worked. Faith has worked. Provision, healing, breakthrough, open doors, you name it. Faith has worked. Faith has worked. You say, what? Faith is the will of God for your life. Amen. To live in faith, to walk in faith, to navigate that path of righteousness for your life, and to walk in the provision of God. It's not a mystery. You that come to church, that are doing all you can do to serve God, begin today. In your private prayer time, just begin. Father, That prayer in Colossians, for the knowledge of your will, in all spiritual understanding, that I might walk worthy of the Lord, be fruitful in every good work. And I always pray it like this. Lord, if there's something I should be doing that I'm not, show me. If there's something I'm doing that I should not, show me. If there's something that I don't know, tell me. If there's something that I can't see, show me. I'm constantly seeking direction. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that if I go on a trip, I want to make sure, how do you want me to go, Lord? Not what is the quickest way to get there, the fastest way to, how do you want me to go? Amen. I mean, I've done that all my life. I mean, since I've been serving the Lord. Because I found out it's easy when you are in the will of God for long periods of time. When you get out of the will of God, you know it real quick. Because a person that's in the will of God is such a threat to the devil, if you even put your foot over the line, he's going to come after you. And I've had times where I cried out and say, God, why am I going through this? And he'd say, Here's where you were saying this. You kept saying that. So you entered into a spiritual law that not even I could stop. You know, I'll close with this. Speaking of the will of God, when I first came into ministry, married Leah. Leah and I had been married about a year or so. We met a young man who was a fiery preacher. I mean, he was a fiery preacher. And he could preach. He was from the Rhema camp, and he had close ties to everybody there. And everybody just loved him. And he could preach heaven and earth together. The glory of God would fall. And just a wonderful guy. And I did meetings with him here in the States. I did meetings with him over in Europe. And just had a wonderful time. And at age 32, he got cancer. And not really a serious cancer. Not really a one that, well, you know, you're going to die. No, just something that was treatable. Something that could have been taken care of. Actually, something that could have been taken care of pretty easily. Anyway, he didn't do it. He died at 34 years of age. 34 years of age, he died. And so Brother Hagin did his funeral and got up and told the crowd, I don't know why he died. I don't know. The mysteries of God, you know, we don't know. So after the funeral, this young man's brother came up to Brother Hagin, and this is what he said. He said, well, I'm going to tell you why he died. He said, why? He said, ever since he was a little boy, he'd tell everybody he wouldn't live to see his 35th birthday. He said, all his life he said that. All his life he said, I'll never live to see my 35th birthday. I'll never say live to see my 35th birthday. And did you know, he didn't repent of that seed. He didn't dig that seed up. He left that seed in the ground. And what did it do? It grew and it produced its fruit. And there was no way he's going to make 35. You say, well, what point are you trying to make with that gruesome story? He got out of the will of God. He flat got out. I watched him do it. Lee and I watched him get out of the will of God in his ministry and begin to do something in his ministry he was not called to do. And buddy, when he did that, it was like a freight train into the grave. It happened so quick. It stunned everybody. This was back in the early 90s. How tragic. That's how important the will of God is. Let me just say this. The will of God in your life can determine whether you live or die on this earth. I don't want anybody. You know, that's one of the great testimonies of Island Church. We really haven't had anybody taken out with some horrible accident or, you know, something that has happened that is, you know, taken. You know, we've had the general attrition of people of dying, of living out their life. My dad, my mom lived out their life here in this church. Many others have done that, gone on to heaven gloriously. But we don't have a lot of people dying in wrecks and industrial accidents and all that kind of stuff. You say why? Because we pray against it. That's not the will of God. And when it does happen, when things do happen like that, I always wonder what was going on in their life. I've been to some funerals of some men of God that died prematurely. I thought, I wonder what was going on in their life. What was happening in their life that they got so off of the path that death got them? Amen? But listen, that path of righteousness for your life, if you'll just get on it, you'll find out how very wide it is. You say, I thought Jesus said the way was narrow. He's talking about salvation. He wasn't talking about the path of righteousness. The path of righteousness starts very wide. But as you walk down it, it gets more and more narrow. And as you keep moving, you say, what do you mean by that? It gets more and more defined. It gets more and more refined. You get more and more details about it. Amen. You get more and more manifestation of it. So the path of it kind of gets like this until when you get down after a few years, you're almost like walking on a tightrope. You say, why? Well, when it's wide, you're just kind of strolling down the road. Then you learn it starts getting smaller. And you learn, and you go, I better watch where I'm walking. And the next thing you know, you're in the will of God, and it just gets very, and you're just like walking on a tightrope. You want to make sure you don't fall off of this. Because this is going to take you right into the blessings of God. Amen? So that's how you've got to do it. Now, here's the thing. Let me close with this. How many have ever made a mistake? Especially when it comes to the will of God. We all have. All of us struggle with it. All of us have issues trying to define it for our own lives personally. Don't ever let the devil tell you things like, well, you know, your job, that's not the will of God. That woman you're married to, that man, that's not the will. You see, that's the devil always trying to mess with your mind. But you know, even in ministry, even in life, Lee and I, we've gotten off track. Gotten out of the will of God. And it's cost us. But man, as soon as we figured out we were out of the will of God, we kicked, crawled, screamed, begged, borrowed, did everything we can do to get right back in the will of God. Amen. Let me just say that it's easier to get in the will and stay there than it is to get in, go out, get in, go out, get in, go out, get in, go. Pretty soon that creates what I call a spiritual callus. And you become very cynical. There's a lot of people out there that are very cynical. Well, I've heard those prophecies, and I've seen those faith healers, and all them prosperity preachers, all they want your money. I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to feed on that, it's not going to produce the will of God in your life. It's going to produce another path. It's going to take you into doubt and unbelief. But here's the good news. Let's end with this. You're in church on Sunday morning. You sang praises unto God. You worshiped His holy name. Many of you gave in the offering. Amen. Most of you are listening, either liking it or not. You know, I can kind of tell you. Kind of tell when you're spoon-feeding people. You know. But it's all good for you. Amen. In a few moments, we'll dismiss. You'll fellowship one with another as you leave. That's all the will of God. So today, from whenever you got up till 11:17, you've been in the will of God. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Now what you do after this service, up to you. For me, I'm going to stay in the will of God. It's not hard. It's not hard. It's actually, it's hard not to. If your life is hard, get in the will of God. These things keep coming up in me. What did Jesus say? What did He say? He said, my burden's easy. My yoke is light. You that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me. For I am meek and lowly. And I will give you what? Did you know that word has a multiple meaning? It means recreation. It means restoration. It means reviving. It means there's 4 or 5 different words that have to do with that word. Here's something about if you're not happy, you ain't the will of God. Now, first time I heard that, I was very upset. You say, why? Because I was not happy. I was in Bible school, September of 1984. Pastor John Osteen got in the pulpit on his redemptive class on a Tuesday morning and said, if you ain't overjoyed, happy, holding back the laughter, you ain't in the will of God. And I thought, that's easy for you to say. You pastor a church of 5,000 people. You ain't a lowly Bible school student that just come out of hell 6 months ago. But you know what I found out? If I ain't happy and full of joy, I ain't in the will of God. And if what God has in your life doesn't make you totally overjoyed, full of joy, then you need to find another path of righteousness. Because all things that God gives are good and subject to your joy and subject to your happiness. And He wants a big smile on your face and He wants a skip in your step. And even when you go through some of the toughest fights, He wants your shoulders squared and He wants you declaring you're more than a conqueror. Because you're a child of a King. You're royalty. You got royal blood in your veins. You're not like other people on the planet that haven't known, that don't know yet. Amen. And we're heading toward a destination and a destiny that seems so close. So close. Aren't you glad you know what you know? Doing what you're doing. Because no matter how far you may think you are from the will of God, you're closer today than you've ever been. Isn't that good? Lift your hands. Father, we worship you. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, your glory. And Father, as we proceed down the path of this message, let your will for our church, your will for our families, our marriages, our children, your will for all the ministry that we're doing here at the church, all of the media ministry, the outreach ministry, the missions work, everything. Let it be in your will, in your will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray your will be done. Hallelujah. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed, real quick as we give the altar call. First of all, if you don't know Jesus, he loves you. He died so that you could live. And he rose from the dead so you could live better. But you have to make him Lord. You have to make him Savior. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus my Lord and Savior. Or you say this, Pastor, Jesus is Lord. He is Savior, but I kind of was like you. I kind of got prodigal, got away from God. And I just need to get right with God this morning. I need to be restored. Well, that's so simple. What we'll do is we'll ask people to raise their hands in just a moment. When you raise your hand, that's an act of faith. You're confirming, I need this. This is what I want in my life. Then the whole church will stand in a moment and we'll all pray a prayer out loud, and you'll pray that prayer so your own ears can hear it. And after you pray it, you will have it. You will either be born again or you will be right with God. Amen. And we like to say it like this, get right and stay right. Amen. Everybody say, get right.
Get right.
Stay right. So real quickly, every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to pray that prayer with you. If you'd put your hand up real quick and put it back down, I just want to see it. Anyone else? One hands, two hands, anyone else? Three hands, anyone else? Four hands, anyone else? Come on, church, five. There's another, and another. Glory to God. Let me look one more time. There's another. God bless you. That's eight people have raised their hand. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? It's good to be right with God. It's good to be right with God. Now, one more time. Let me look one more time. Anyone else, if you've not raised your hand and you need to, raise your hand right now as an act of faith. Anyone else? Praise God. Good. Everybody stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Now, let's do what I said. Let's pray the prayer out loud. All of Island Church is going to help you out, you that have prayed the prayer. After we pray the prayer, settle it. I'm right with God. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. You tell him to shut up in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you that have raised your hand, if you've not got our three books, pick up our three books on the way out. They're there at the granite countertop. If you've prayed that prayer, just go up there and say, I prayed that prayer, but I've never gotten these books. Amen? And they will help you live your life, walk in faith, and do what you need to do. You ready, church? Here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I confess him as Lord, as my Lord, as my Savior. Thank you, Father. You sent him to the earth, your only begotten Son, born of a virgin. Thank you, Lord. You anointed him with the Holy Ghost. He did signs, wonders, and miracles. He lived a sinless life. There was no sin in him. Then he did something so awesome. He took my sin. He took my sickness. He took my pain. He took my disappointment. He took my hurt. He took my agony. And he died on the cross. Then he rose from the dead so that I could have his salvation. I could have his power. I could have his name. And I could have his reward. I'm so thankful as I stand at Island Church, January the 14th, 2024. I'm born again. Jesus is my Lord. I will never be the same. Never, never, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I'm your child. I need your help. Help me. Devil, look at me. I don't belong to you. Get out of my life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your overwhelming mercy and grace toward me in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him all a big hand clap. Come on, give him a big hand clap. Laura was clapping like that. That was pretty cute. Father, thank you for today. Lord, as is our tradition, we claim the protection and safety afforded us by your word and the angels that encamp round about us. Thank you this week. No evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh us. You protect our going out and our coming in, the highways, seaways, airways, railways, any other way of travel or transportation. And thank you, Father, that this cold event won't be near what they thought it was. Just won't be near what they thought it was. All the way up to Canada, won't be near what they thought it was. And we thank you, Father, for your provision and blessing. As we leave today, we ask that you would continue to work on our hearts to make us aware that we're your instruments of evangelism everywhere we go. People that we will encounter this week need you, Jesus. And we ask that you would anoint us to be an answer to their prayer, a problem to the devil, and a miracle in their life. Lord, as we leave today, we walk in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. Yes, Lord. Thank you for our church. We thank you. We walk in love one toward another. Thank you for the love of our church. We live as the ambassadors of Christ you called us to be, knowing, Lord, that any time that violence would come to the world, you would remove your ambassadors. We're so thankful. Thank you here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.